This is a Locker Room Production.
What's shaking, Red Nation? It's your boy Jeremy Brenner here to recap tonight's Rockets Heat matchup. And this one, like many others this season, just not pretty. Just not pretty for this one. At least, I mean, look, overall the game was not pretty. If you take the first half, maybe you think otherwise, at least from the Rockets' point of view. They had a one-point lead going into halftime, and ironically enough, the second half did not stay the same. A 22-point blowout of the Rockets. Final score, Heat 113, Rockets 91. There were some good points. There were some good points tonight, especially in that first half. We had a lot of solid play in that first half, specifically in that second quarter. I really liked how the Rockets played in that second quarter. And it was nice to see, you know, it was nice to see Kevin Porter. It was nice to see Christian Wood continue to work towards where he was at the beginning of the season. I do think we saw flashes of that tonight. Kelly Olynyk did not have as good of a night as we would have hoped on his 30th birthday. Happy birthday to Kelly Olynyk, the Olynyk Clinic. And, you know, not every game is going to be roses and rainbows, especially for a team that is now 15-43. Don't worry, guys. The tank is still on. And hey, if we look at it this way, the Pistons won tonight, so that distances the Rockets even further from the Pistons. So, or I mean, if you could look at it this way, it kind of makes up for the win last night. It kind of evens the playing field out a little bit. So tonight, rough loss, but hey, you know, not the worst thing in the world. I'm gonna bring people up to speak here. We are live here on Locker Room. I've got Tamir here requesting to speak. So, Tamir, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you?
Fucking lost tonight, bro.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to put it. I'll give you that.
Man, fuck, bro. I can't fucking take losses like this. Like, it's just, damn.
Hey, man. Look, as Rockets fans, I think we should be appreciative for the fact that we're not used to losing like this, because we've been winning basketball games a lot over the last, you know, 8-9 years in the Harden era, and we haven't seen a team like this since, you know, maybe the 2000 and 2002 season. And even then, like, I was looking back at, you know, a time when the Rockets were the worst team in the league, and I couldn't even look that far. Even 40 years ago, when they had the number one pick to draft Hakeem, like, even then, the Rockets weren't considered to be the worst team in the league that year. So it is definitely a new brand of basketball for a lot of us here,
exactly,
in
exactly,
Red Nation.
Exactly.
But anything you'd like to talk about?
Also, can you let my friend Nick on? He's like, what's it called? Like, we don't have a lot of time. Like, we gotta go soon. Like,
yeah, Nick, welcome to the Dream Take, my friend.
Yeah, hey, Nick.
So, Tamir, Nick, anything to talk about from tonight's game?
I think Christian Wood. I think his agility and, like, athleticism, like, it's okay.
Yeah, I, you know, tonight was not the best that we'd seen Christian Wood, and I feel like
Christian Wood's a bit too, like, competitive.
What do you mean by too competitive?
Like, he's just trying too hard.
Like he's kind of in what regard?
Like,
though?
All of the regards.
So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that. If anything, being too competitive is a good thing in my books. I mean, he's playing night in, night out, and he's doing everything that he can. I mean, tonight, the Rockets didn't lose this game because of Christian Wood, I'll tell you that. He's probably the best player on the Rockets tonight. 8 of 16 from the field, 18 points, team high, 7 boards. You know, at this point, like, I think at the beginning of the season, we kind of saw Christian Wood and we were like, you know, wow, like, he could really be like a superstar for us. I don't know if we've seen that yet. I think we've seen flashes of it. But at this point, like, I think the idea that Christian Wood being the number one guy for the eventual contending Rockets, I don't think that's going to be what it is. But I do think that having Christian Wood as a potential number two, number three option on a contender, it makes sense. That, like, he fits that archetype of a guy that could do that later on in his career.
Yeah, I also think Jason Tate, like, I think, like, what's it called? I think he can be like almost as good as someone like Jason Tatum one day. Like I think, like I really believe that. I think like his shot creating ability, just like sometimes he's just a bit too aggressive. You know what I mean? And like a bit not enough.
Not really. I agree with you. I mean, I don't, like, just relax. I don't necessarily see what y'all are seeing with Jason Tatum in this too competitive or too aggressive thing. I don't necessarily think that's ever a bad thing. But we've mentioned it on the show time and time again that Jason Tatum can be a guy like you. Every team that is going to win a championship or be a contender needs a Jason Tatum archetype. You need a guy just like Jason Tatum who is willing to defend 1 through 5, can defend the guy's best scorer, and can also make plays on the offensive end. He reminds me a lot of, honestly, Draymond Green and how he can create with his passing ability. He can defend multiple positions. And the one thing he needs to work on in the offseason is his three ball, because at this point, like, that's obviously the Rockets' biggest weakness right now. And it sucks playing as a team that, you know, you need to shoot threes. And I don't necessarily blame Steven Silas for his system that he has initiated with this group, because three balls, the way you win basketball games, like the two best teams in the league right now, Phoenix and Utah, they win because they – exactly. So you need to shoot threes in order to win a game. And the Rockets were part of that evolution, right? But obviously the reason why the Rockets haven't won a lot of games because they don't shoot the three ball well. And that goes for everybody. You know, like Jason Tatum didn't make a three tonight. Like they were not – the team was 9 of 38 from the three-point line tonight. And Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson – now, granted, you know, those are two players that shoot the three ball extremely well. But those two guys had 11 threes between the two of them. They had more threes between the two of those guys than the Rockets had as a whole team. And you throw in Andre Iguodala, who used to never be able to shoot threes. And he was 4 of 7 tonight from three. Goran Dragic, 3 of 4 tonight from three. Like – they have been able to, like, that is why the lead ballooned from where it was. Like, the Heat didn't have the lead or a comfortable lead in this game until the end of the third. It was a 4-point game with less than 5 minutes to go, and then they went on that big run. I want to say in that run, it was a 13-4 run to end the third quarter. And in that time, let me pull it up right here. So in that time, Iguodala 3. Then it was Duncan Robinson 3, Goran Dragic layup, Duncan Robinson 3,
and that right there was like Devin layup. That there was like 14 points,
and that sunk the Rockets. That killed the Rockets exactly. Tonight. That run right there, because
scored 91 points. Like our defense, like could have been bad, but like also like our offense, it was not amazing. And also one thing with Christian Wood about being too competitive, it's like sometimes on defense, like he'll try to like to guard like a better man than like.
Well, I think you're thinking like you're using too competitive or too like I think you're using that as like a reason, and I see where you're coming from, but I don't necessarily think those are the right words. I see where I'm starting to see where you're going at, but I don't think it's the fact that he's too competitive. I think it's the fact that the defense and the system that they have in place is just not like they don't have a set like. Defensive
yeah,
identity.
Yeah, I agree with as you. Team, I think that Tamir
and that's what happens as young teams and guys that are in and out of the lineup. Like the Rockets have been brutally, brutally injured all year long, and I'm not, you know, trying to claim that we're special because, you know, every team injured. At first I thought, but ever since all of these injuries have popped up for other teams,
it's been hard recognizing for us.
But honestly, like at the end of the day, the Rockets, they need to develop somewhat of a defensive identity. I think they had that when like Oladipo was in and I could see like kind of where they were going with that. But ever since Oladipo's been in and out of the lineup, it's just and that's why defense around the league this year has been down. It's because guys are playing in and out of the lineup. They can't consistently get a group together. I also want to add the fact that they just played a game 24 hours before with an 8-man rotation in Orlando.
Yeah, I was thinking that like they looked gassed tonight.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And they've been
and that's
playing,
what I'm saying about like being too competitive.
They've been playing at this rate for months now. They've been playing at this rate since December 25th. So, and that's every team in the league. So when you see, like, the Kings have, like, I want to say the Kings have the worst defensive rating in NBA history this year. And you see there are, like, three or four teams that have the highest defensive or offensive ratings, excuse me, the highest offensive ratings in NBA history. This is why. Because teams are playing an unreasonable amount of games in a very short amount of time. And guys just don't have the energy to be able to play defense on every possession, night in, night out, to a strong level. And I hope that next season, if the schedule's a little bit, you know, back to normal and games are a little bit more spaced out, because before all of this happened, right, the league was moving towards spacing out games a little bit more, and they were able to, you know, find times to where exactly. They had they moved the season up 2 weeks to try to limit the amount of back-to-backs. Personally, I think the NBA should work towards this goal within the next 2 or 3 years. I think they should not have back-to-backs where you have to travel to a different city within 24 hours. I think the only back-to-backs you have are ones where you play the same team twice and in the same arena, and that's it. Maybe you play the Lakers and the Clippers back-to-back twice. I'm okay with that. Maybe you play Brooklyn and New York in the same back-to-back night. Like, that's okay. But I think what that will do is players will be able to play more defense. Like, I don't
and think that's kind of like what Nick was saying before, in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that will solve a lot of the NBA's problems, which, you know, we've had with injuries this year, with, you know, the product not being as good as it was at one point, you know, because honestly, I'll be honest, and maybe this is part of the reason, like, maybe part of this is the fact that the Rockets just aren't good, but I'm not as excited about the NBA this year. Like, I feel like the league just hasn't put out as strong of a product as it used to, not
last year, but like at least like 2 years ago, like before the pandemic. Nick was saying we kind of like need a superstar like to get us past here. Nick?
For what? Sorry, guys. But yeah, I mean, like, that to me, I think that if you stretch the games out to a reasonable amount where you're not playing every other night, or you're not playing four games in 7 nights, or four games in 6 nights, or five games in 7 nights, or some ridiculous stretches of games, that is when, you know, you're going to put out a better product, when your players are healthier, when your superstars are healthier. Because I think it's like this year might be the number one or the number two largest amount of all-star. All right, guys, I'm gonna have to gulag y'all. I'm sorry.
All right, I gotta go, guys. Bye, guys.
Yeah. All right. Sometimes on this show, man, you never know what's gonna happen on a live locker room. But if anyone else would like to come up and follow that, I totally will not be disappointed. But we have Michael here. Let's hope Michael isn't as big of a troll as those guys. Mike, welcome.
Hey,
to the show.
Jeremy, I will not troll you. I promise.
Appreciate that. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Wish we could talk about a Rockets win, but I'll talk a Rockets loss.
I want to talk about a Rockets win because I need y'all to win so bad. Please don't take – yeah, please give us the lottery odds. You don't deserve it. Well, you guys still have players that are play good. Well,
I'm glad you brought this up, Michael, because you know, the Wolves because at the end of the day, if I'm not mistaken, the top three teams get the same odds for the number one pick. So as long
as 40-36
for in terms of what? 40-36?
Like the last place team gets 40, second last place team gets 36.
So I think that's what it used to be, but it's changed in recent years. So if I'm not mistaken, so the way the lottery odds work now is, yes, so I'm at tankathon.com right now looking this up. So basically the top three teams, or the bottom three teams, I should say, they each get 14% odds at the number one pick. Then they get the same odds for the second pick, which is 13.4, and the same odds for the number three pick, which is 12.7. Now, the fourth worst team, which in this case, as of right now, is the Orlando Magic, is at has a 12.5% chance to get the number one pick. And Oklahoma City is fifth, they have a 10.5% chance to get the number one pick. So it's look, it's pretty evenly split. Finishing with the worst record, and I think finishing with the worst record does not guarantee you the best odds. It used to, and I think the last time it was that, I want to say it was when Phoenix had the number one pick and they took DeAndre Ayton. I think it's changed in the last two drafts. I think the 2019 draft where the Pelicans got Zion, and then the 2020 draft where the Timberwolves got Anthony Edwards, even though the Timberwolves, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, had the best odds that year. But also the one thing that benefits you from having the number one worst record in the league versus the number two worst record in the league is the absolute lowest your team can place in the draft lottery is fifth. So if you have the worst record in the NBA, the absolute lowest place you can possibly pick is the number five pick, which really would definitely help the Rockets, because as long as the Rockets are 1, 2, 3, or 4, they keep their pick. If they're number five, that pick goes to Oklahoma City and all hell will break loose in the city of Houston. But but Minnesota, so like the number, if you have the second worst record in the NBA, your odds go from the fifth pick instead of 47.9% chance, which would be the Rockets in this scenario. So the 52% odds of getting your pick is you get 1, 2, 3, or 4, and then you have a 48% chance to land the fifth pick. So for the second worst team, it'd be 27.8 and then 20%. And if I'm not mistaken, do you know, Mike, about those protections on that Minnesota pick?
Golden State?
So it's top three. So that would be another, so this draft lottery is actually going to – a lot of teams are going to have a big part in this draft lottery, because, man, if Minnesota, if we both end up outside of that top three, if y'all are four and Houston is five, then the lottery is going to go like, it's going to go probably like Detroit, Orlando, OKC, and then Golden State's going to have the four pick, and then Oklahoma City's going to have the five pick. And that would be like absolute, like just the worst awful case scenario for you, for the Wolves, and for the Rockets.
We'll both cry together.
Oklahoma City will have two top five picks, and they will be like, they'll probably trade them for like 17 more picks. Somehow they'll probably like trade back or something. But yeah, I mean, at this point, the Rockets just need to play their game. And to be honest, I've said it multiple times on the show before, the Rockets don't need – they just need to play as competitive as possible. I don't like the idea of losing games on purpose to improve your draft stock, because at the end of the day, it's a 52% chance that you're getting that pick. That's a little bit better than a coin flip. And I would hate for them to lose all these games, create this – and foster this poor losing culture for them not to even get a pick at the end of the day. They just need to play competitive – every night in, night out, and, hope the ping pong balls are in their favor. At the end of the day, ping pong balls are going to decide your fate one way or another. So you might as well, play these games competitively, which I'm happy that they did in Orlando last night. And for 2.5 quarters tonight, but it just, the Tank Commander won once again. Team Tank, another win for y'all. Congratulations. And, for me, I don't necessarily consider myself part of Team Tank, because I personally despise the idea of tanking. Mike, I'm not sure how you feel about it, considering you're a Minnesota guy. I'm sure you've been tanking through a tank or two. So yeah, like that, and that's my thing. And Mike, I don't mean to pick on you, but you're here. Like, I don't want Houston to become a Minnesota where we haven't won a playoff series in 17 years. And I think that part of what Minnesota has done is they've kind of rested on this idea that, okay, we're going to build up on draft picks and we're just going to play our guys and then hope that it works out. And that's where, Minnesota has been for the past 10 plus years is almost purgatory. And I mean that with, a heart, Mike. I'm sorry.
Take anything offensively. Don't worry. It's okay. Well, I've heard it on the app every time I go to a room.
Do you want me? I'll go in on the Wolves if you really want me to. But
well, I'm curious. I'm curious, Jeremy.
Well, they're right awful. Now, they're horrible. They're terrible.
Hey. I'm curious. Right now, you're a Rockets fan. I'm a Timberwolves fan.
Yes.
What future? Let's talk about the future here of both these franchises. What what if let's say you're not a Rockets fan, I'm not a Wolves fan. We're outside. We're looking in. Mm-hmm. Who would and you're a new, maybe a new fan to the league, or you're trying to pick a team. Which one are you picking? Which one do you think is the one you're gonna? Who's got the brighter future? Who's got the kind of?
I'm gonna go with the Rockets right now, only because they have a surplus of picks coming their way within the next several years, whereas the Timberwolves don't necessarily have that. Because they've spent picks on guy like the thing is the Rockets are starting fresh right now, right? The Rockets have proven that they are like this is the beginning of their rebuild. The Wolves, in a sense, like the core of their team are guys that have been in the league since 2015, D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. And you know, maybe if they, I'm not saying trade Karl Anthony Towns because I don't necessarily think that's in the right. You know, I don't think that's necessarily the correct thing for Minnesota to do necessarily. But in retrospect, like let's say they do trade Karl Anthony Towns, if they did that, I would feel honestly a little bit better because they are trading him when his value is super high, and you're not going to get nobody for him. Like you're going to get some good pieces in return, some good future picks, and Anthony Edwards from what we've seen. Has game and has potential to be a number one or a number two on a really good team. And I personally think that the Wolves at this point, they are looking for direction. Now it depends on if they are, you know, it depends on what they do with this draft, right? Like if they were to, for instance, get like Cade, like that changes them in a totally different direction. And same with the Rockets. If they get Cade Cunningham, that totally changes the Rockets franchise. And in my opinion, it will tighten the rebuild a little bit, and it might shave a year off if they were to get him versus a guy like Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley possibly. And same with the Timberwolves, right? So like if the Timberwolves get Cade, like putting Cade and Ant next to each other, that looks really solid. Putting Suggs next to Ant when they both play the similar positions, I'm not sure if that's necessarily going to push the Wolves forward. I feel like a lot of the Wolves players and the reason why they're still in the position that they are is because a lot of the guys that they've drafted outside of their number one picks have just been kind of filler positions and like they don't fit the team as well. Like Jarrett Culver, for instance, really good player that came out of school, but the Wolves have not utilized him and not used him well enough. He's been losing minutes to Josh Okogie, and then even after that, he's losing minutes to Anthony Edwards. So they've almost wasted that pick because they have misused him and mismanaged him. And what I hope that the Rockets do is they at least, if they're going to make a pick, they use it and they center it around the team that they have, because the team that they have deserves a chance, at least for one more year, in my opinion. If it doesn't work after year two, I think there's actually a legitimate discussion to whether you keep Christian Wood or not, because his contract is up at the end of the 2023 season. So if it doesn't work this time a year from now, then he's going into a contract year, and you might decide that it might be best to move on from him and maybe get some picks and reshuffle the deck again. But, you know, at this point, the Rockets, with the team that they've assembled so far, deserves a chance in a non-COVID season and with a full offseason with everything in place to develop this team and see where they go moving forward.
I think the NBA is going to reward you kind of like the AD thing, where you know the franchise player leaves, and then suddenly you get the nice juicy pick.
Yeah, hey, that would be totally nice. I would very much appreciate Cade Cunningham. I do think that he would work next to Kevin Porter. I do worry a little bit about how Kevin Porter would fit next to Cade, I will admit. But at that, like, if you have the number one pick, you're taking the best player available, you take Cade Cunningham. There's no debate there, in my opinion. Cade Cunningham is the best prospect in this draft. You have to take Cade Cunningham if you have that number one pick. And then you build the team around Cade. You have, you know, Kevin Porter is talented enough to where I think you can start him next to Cade. And if you get Cade and KPJ back in the backcourt, that's one of the better backcourts coming up for me. I would personally take that backcourt over a lot of the incumbent backcourts in the league right now. And the thing with KPJ, he's only 20, and Cade's not even 20 either. And if I have those guys in my team for the next, you know, possibly 6-7 years, something's going to happen, and something good's going to happen. And I would hope that the same thing happens with the Wolves, because I would think that Cade and Anthony Edwards would be talented enough to, in 6 or 7 years, do something.
I hope you guys get one. You get Cade. I hope we get three and get Evan Mobley.
And get Suggs. You would prefer Mobley over Suggs.
Yeah, just so we don't – Suggs can go two, and then we'll get three.
Yeah,
we'll
I think Mobley a lot of it get, also – get it. A lot of it also depends on who's at two. Like, if the Magic are at two, I could see them possibly go for Suggs, just because I feel like he's a better fit for what they're trying to do. I think they might decide, you know, hey, Wendell Carter is decent enough. I know he's been playing well for the Magic, so that might be a scenario there. Or if, like, say Detroit is number two, like, maybe they feel good enough about Isaiah Stewart. But at this point, like, it does depend on who's number two. And honestly, whoever has the number two pick, you know, they might field offers for, you know, teams to jump up past Minnesota. Because, I think Minnesota and Jalen Suggs just is a natural fit because he's from the area. And I think that, like, a lot of people will mock him there before the lottery is set and finalized in mid-June. But I do think that Minnesota, in the grand scheme of things, they do need a little bit of direction with who they take with this pick this year, if it isn't Cade, because I don't want to see them waste another prospect and another year by selecting someone that's just going to get roadblocked by whoever's already there. So that's kind of how I feel about the whole situation. But Michael, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And talking with me. I appreciate that. But yeah, Will and Harvey, I see y'all are in the audience. If y'all want to come up and speak, feel free to do so. But before that, I do want to address some news that came out before the game regarding Sterling Brown. Very unfortunate to what happened. So Sterling Brown, according to The Athletic, was involved in, I guess, like an altercation, an assault in downtown Miami last night, and it resulted in face lacerations. He is going to make a full recovery, according to the team, but definitely not what you want to see. And Sterling Brown has been one of the pleasant surprises for the Rockets this year. He's been, you know, he's been one of their best three-point shooters. And in a year when you need some stability like this, he's been that for this team. And, you know, it's a real shame that this happened to him, especially considering what happened to him while he was playing with the Bucks, where he was part of a, you know, racial profiling with the Milwaukee police. So, you know, he's been nothing but a class act, a gentleman, and a great representation for the Rockets. And it's just really sad to see anything like that happen. I'm glad that it appears that he'll be okay, but definitely not what you want to see, not what you want to see at all. And, you know, hopefully he'll make a full recovery. To be honest, though, I personally don't think that playing Sterling Brown, although he is on an expiring contract at the end of the season, I don't know if he's necessarily the right guy for the Rockets to be playing right now. I do like the fact that they are playing Armani Brooks a little bit more. He appears to be getting a lot more minutes. And, you know, that has to do with the fact that the Rockets are as injured as they are. And, you know, I thought about it today. Like, you know, Armani Brooks has been a very interesting addition to this team, a needed one at that for sure, because he has been – and it's for a team that needs shooting, that's what Armani Brooks is, right? He is a shooter. He is a straight – like, that's all he does. And he has some defense. You know, I do think his defense needs to pick up. But so far before tonight, he's shooting 52% from the three-point line in, you know, only 5 games. But, you know, tonight he did not have as good of a shooting night. I believe he went like 2 of 11 from the three-point line. So not what you want to see from that guy. But you know what? What I appreciate from Armani Brooks is that dude has confidence, like real strong confidence. He lets it fly, and he's given the green light, and I'm happy that he's getting the green light. He had 12 shots in 26 minutes, and usually you don't see that from your backup shooting guard, but I'll take that. I'll take that because at the end of the day, the Rockets, that's what they need. And in the draft, that's what they need to target. And that's my concern, is that with Armani Brooks, there are going to be too many guys that will get minutes ahead of him when the rotation comes back around next season. And you're going to get guys in the draft that are just shooters. Like the Rockets, if they keep that first pick, they're going to have three first round picks. And I would highly, highly recommend they take at least one more strictly shooting guard or a guy that can just shoot the lights out, like a Corey Kispert or something like that. I don't know if they'll be able – maybe they use those two picks, trade up, and get Corey Kispert in the late lottery possibly, but they need shooters. And the good thing about the NBA is there are good shooters. There are good shooters where the Rockets are going to pick. A guy – like if you look at Desmond Bane, for example, he was the 30th overall pick in this draft, in this past draft for the Memphis Grizzlies, and he has – he's been in their rotation the entire season because he's just a really good shooter. And that, like, he started tonight and he's been averaging, you know, Desmond Bane has been averaging almost 10 points a game this season. And as the 30th overall pick, he's just straight up just gotten a starting spot. He's shooting 46% from the 3-point line. Like, that is exactly who the Rockets could use right now. I can't tell you how many games they would have won this season had they had a guy like Desmond Bane in the lineup. So there are guys available around that area where they could go out and get, and they could be totally – and that changes the whole team. And if you also add the fact that Eric Gordon is injured, they're going to get guys in free agency. Like – a 9-man rotation next year with a team fully healthy probably doesn't feature Armani Brooks. I would like to see Armani Brooks on the team next season because I do think he has earned his place, at least in these first couple of games so far. He's definitely proven that. He's definitely proven that he's going to be in an NBA camp next year, and he might be in the G League again, but I would like to see him get another shot with the Rockets again after this season. I feel like he definitely earned it based off of his first couple of games with the Rockets, but if I'm looking at a 9-man rotation next year, let's just assume – we'll play devil's advocate. Let's just assume that the Rockets get Cade Cunningham in the draft just to make everyone happy, right? So Cade Cunningham would start. Then you have Kevin Porter, Jayshon Tate. Let's assume they get either Kelly Olynyk back or they'll get – and honestly, if they have the number one pick, I think that increases the chances of Kelly Olynyk returning. If they might decide to get Evan Mobley, I don't think that Kelly Olynyk would stay. And granted, the draft is just a few days before NBA free agency starts. They announced today that NBA free agency will begin August the 2nd. So that is, you know, that's going to play a real key part, is who they end up drafting. Do they end up deciding to draft a replacement for Kelly Olynyk, who's on a cheaper contract? Do they end up deciding to go get a more expensive guy in free agency like a John Collins? So let's just assume like John Collins is the guy, because that's who I want personally. This is my dream lineup for next season, right? So my dream lineup features Cade, Kevin Porter, Jayshon Tate, John Collins, and Christian Wood. Then the backups, I'd assume Eric Gordon would be back. He'll be playing as the sixth man. If they get Cade, it negates the need for John Wall to be here. And I don't know if they would be able to keep John Wall. And so let's assume they trade John Wall. They'd get players in return for him. So I talked about a trade a couple weeks ago where I actually really like the trade where it sends John Wall and a pick to the Clippers for Patrick Beverley, Patrick Patterson, and Luke Kennard. So in that way, it'd be Patrick Beverley, Luke Kennard, you'd get Eric Gordon, so it'd be those three guys. KJ Martin would probably be in the rotation as well, and then you need a backup five. And let's assume they draft a guy. So there's your 10 guys. Maybe they find a way to keep David Nwaba around, and he can be in that. He can be in the mix there. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but I mean, the fact that, like, I feel like David Nwaba, like, people forget how he was a baller for the Rockets, you know, throughout majority of the season. So you know, the fact that he hasn't played recently definitely changes things. But I would say, like, but also in that trade, I guess Patrick Patterson would have to be part of the trade. So maybe he factors in as your small ball five. So you're looking at a 10-man rotation of Cade, Kevin Porter, Jayshon, John Collins, Christian Wood, and then Beverly, Kennard, Eric Gordon, and then you get KJ and Patrick Patterson. I'd take that, and I think that team is definitely better than the team that we have now. I'd best believe that. So I think if that's the case, that I'd be happy with that. I'd be really happy with that. I think that Cade would be Cade changes this team, and I don't want fans to get their hopes up for getting Cade Cunningham, because the Rockets still only have a 14% chance of getting that number one pick, which means there's an 86% chance that the Rockets don't get the number one pick. And granted, 14% is the strongest odds you could possibly have, but at the end of the day, the Rockets just need to continue bringing in talent and breeding the talent they currently have. And I think they're doing that. And some nights it's more apparent than others. I think it was more apparent on Sunday night when they beat Orlando versus tonight against Miami. But that's how it goes. And look, Miami is a fantastic defensive team. I think that's also part of it too, where I talked about it earlier in the show where Miami and teams just had been playing poorer defense. But Miami is one of those teams that has continued to really rely on their defensive identity. And it's why I think that they actually have a decent chance in the playoffs to upset one of the top three or four teams, because they can play defense. I guarantee you this, Miami is the only team in the bottom four from 5 to 8 right now. They're currently sitting at number 7 with a 30-28 record. They are just a game and a half back, though, of the 4 seed. But Miami is the one team out of Atlanta, New York, Charlotte, and them, and I guess Boston. But I guess them and Boston fit this archetype of teams that are battle-tested. And the Heat have recently proven that they are battle-tested, and they're more battle-tested than Boston. Boston, through the playoffs last year, they beat an injured Sixers team. They beat the Raptors, who were not at themselves in the bubble. And then they lost to the Heat. So I'll tell you this, the last team, nobody wants to see Miami in the playoffs. Like, nobody wants to see Miami in the playoffs. They're going to be a very tough out. They are battle tested. They have championship experience. They have finals experience. They have, you know, a lot of playoffs experience with every single guy on that roster. And they will make life hell for the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks, whoever they get in the playoffs. And I'm not saying they're going to win, because I don't necessarily think they're as talented as the Sixers or the Nets, but I do think that they will give them a major run for their money. Major run for their money. So to kind of go back to the Rockets here, of course, their next game comes against the Utah Jazz, the best team in the NBA right now. They're currently beating the Lakers by 12 in the second quarter. Devastating to see Donovan Mitchell go down last week, especially in the fashion that he went down. But he will not be playing against the Rockets, at least I would highly, highly doubt that he does. I'd be shocked if he did. But the Jazz are still a very good team and way better than the Rockets, and they'll beat the Jazz. But my parents are going to the game. They haven't been to a Rockets game in a really long time. It's really nice to be able to go to games again. I was able to work. I've been working for the Orlando Magic as I'm here in Orlando, and it's nice to see fans start to go to the games. I had a DM from a guy. I saw a Houston shirt in Orlando at the Amway Center, and I was super excited to see that, you know, Houston fans. It's like, oh my God, like, you know, it's like you see someone like in a foreign land. And this guy at Bryce B488, I saw him at the game, and he actually reached out to me on Twitter. So thank you for reaching out to me on Twitter, Bryce. It was good to see you at the game, and glad that you were able to see a Rockets win. We don't get too many of those nowadays, and I'm not expecting one on Wednesday against the Jazz, but the season has been a long one, and every day that goes by and every game that passes, it's almost over. So with that being said, I think it's a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you to everyone who came up on stage with me today, Tamir, Nick, and Michael. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Dream Take and Dream Shake SBN. We are the home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. We have half of our post-game shows here on the Locker Room app. So if you'd like to follow me here, feel free to do so. You can just tap on my profile and hit that follow button. And you can also hit us on Facebook. We're live on Facebook as well. Wednesday's recap show will be on Facebook Live. My co-pilot, Michael Brown, will be there recapping the Jazz-Rockets game. I'll be back here on Friday for the Clippers-Rockets game. And then on Saturday, we'll be back with Mike on Facebook. So again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!